Welcome to Dead White Guys. I'm your host, Jason Rennie. I'd just like to start off today's show by saying thanks to everyone out there listening to this. Hopefully, you're all finding the podcast as interesting to listen to as I find it to produce. If you have any feedback about the show, feel free to leave a message at the blog, deadwhiteguys.blogspot.com, or else send me an email, deadwhiteguys@gmail.com. I really like getting feedback. Anybody? Helps convince me someone out there is really listening, so please drop me a line if the mood strikes you, and I promise to answer every email personally. At this point, I'm still looking for some theme music for the show. I found an excellent tune by a band named Red Eye Jedi. Unfortunately, I've been unable to get a hold of them and see if I can have permission to use it in the show. Ah, well, if you have any recommendations, please drop me a line. Anyway, on to today's reading. This is part 3 of Justin Martyr's dialogue with Trypho the Jew, and it covers chapters 9 through 12. My friend, I pardon you, and may the Lord forgive you, for you don't know what you say. You have been instructed by teachers who are ignorant of the meaning of Scripture, and like a fortune teller, you blurt out whatever comes to your mind. If you will consent to hear our account of him, how we have been deceived by false teaching, and how we will not cease to profess our faith in him, even though men thereby persecute us and the most cruel tyrants try to force us to deny him, I will prove to you here and now that we do not believe in groundless myths, nor in teaching, not based on reason, but in doctrines that are inspired by the divine spirit, abundant with power and teeming with grace. Trypho's companions once again broke out in a loud, rude, and raucous laughter, that I got up and was ready to walk away, but Trypho seized my cloak and said he would not let me go until I had kept my promise. Then don't let your friends cause such a commotion, or act so insultingly. If they wish, let them listen in silence, or if they have something more important to do, let them depart. Then we can go somewhere to rest and finish our conversation. Trypho consented, and then we agreed to retire to the middle of the stadium of the Xystus. Two of his friends, joking and made fun of our earnestness, went their way. When we came to that part of the stadium, where there were stone seats on both sides, Trypho's other companions went to sit on one side, and after one of them had made a remark about the war waged in Judea, they spoke of it. When they had finished their conversation, I once again addressed them in this fashion. My friends, is there any other accusation you have against us other than this, that we do not observe the law, nor circumcise the flesh as your forefathers did, nor keep the Sabbaths as you do? Or do you also condemn our customs and morals, that is, what I say, lest you too believe, that we eat human flesh, and that after our banquets we extinguish the lights, and indulge in unbridled sensuality? Or do you only condemn us for believing in such doctrines and in holding opinions that you consider false?
This last charge is what surprises us. Those other charges which the rabble lodge against you are not worthy of belief, for they are too repulsive to human nature. But the precepts in what you call your gospel are so marvellous and great that I don't think that anyone could possibly keep them, for I took the trouble to read them. But this is what surprises us most, that you who claim to be pious and believe yourselves to be different from others do not segregate yourselves from them, nor do you observe a manner of life different from that of the Gentiles, for you do not keep the feasts or Sabbaths, nor do you practice the rite of circumcision. You place your hope in a crucified man and still expect to receive favours from God when you disregard his commandments. Have you not read that the male who is not circumcised on the eighth day will be cut off from his people? This precept was for a stranger and purchased slave alike. But you, forthwith, scorn this covenant, spurn those commandments that come afterwards, and then you try to convince us that you know God, when you fail to do those things that every God-fearing person would do. If, therefore, you can give a satisfactory reply to these charges, and can show us on what you place your hopes, even though you refuse to observe the law, we will listen to you most willingly, and then we can go on and examine in the same manner our other differences.
Trypho, there will never be, nor has there ever been from eternity, any other God except him who created and formed this universe. Furthermore, we do not claim that our God is different from yours, for he is the God who, with a strong hand and outstretched arm, led your forefathers out of Egypt. Nor have we placed our trust in any other, for indeed there is no other, but only in him who you have also trusted, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But our hope is not through Moses or through the law, otherwise our customs would be the same as yours. Now indeed, for I have read, Trypho, that there should be a definitive law and a covenant more binding than all the others, which must now be respected by all those who aspire to be in the heritage of God. The law promulgated at Horeb is already obsolete and was intended only for you Jews, whereas the law of which I speak is simply for all men. Now a later law, in opposition to an older law, abrogates the older. So too does a later covenant void an earlier one. An everlasting and final law, Christ himself, and a trustworthy covenant has been given to us, after which there will be no law or commandment or precept. Have you not read these words in Isaiah? Give ear to me and listen to me, my people. And you kings, give ear unto me, for a law will go forth from me, and my judgment will be a light to the nations. My just one, approaching swiftly, and my Saviour will go forth, and my nations will trust in my arm. Isaiah 51, verses 4 and 5. Concerning this new covenant, God thus spoke through Jeremiah. Behold, the days will come, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them up out of the land of Egypt. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 32. If therefore God predicted that he would make a new covenant, and this is a light for the nations, and we see and are convinced that through the name of the crucified Jesus Christ, men have turned to God, leaving behind them idolatry and other sinful practices, and have kept the faith and have practiced piety even unto death, then everyone can clearly see from these deeds and the accompanying powerful miracles that he is indeed the new law, the new covenant, and the expectation of those who from every nation have awaited the blessing of God. We have been lent to God through this crucified Christ, and we are the true spiritual Israel and the descendants of Judah, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, who, though uncircumcised, was approved and blessed by God because of his faith and was called the father of many nations. And this will be proved, and we have proceeded without discussion. I also cited this quotation from Isaiah, "Hear my words, and your soul will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. Behold, nations that know you not will call upon you, and the people that you knew will not run from you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." Isaiah 55, verses 3 through 5. You have scorned this very law, and have made light of his new holy covenant, and even you do not accept it, nor are you repentant of your evil actions. Jeremiah has indeed exclaimed, "For your ears are closed and your eyes are blinded, and your heart is hardened." Isaiah 6:10. But still you won't listen. The lawgiver has come and you do not see him. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The blind see. Mark 11:5 and Luke 7 verse 22. Yet you do not understand. What you really need is another circumcision, though you boast of that of the flesh. The new law demands that you observe a perpetual Sabbath, whereas you consider yourselves pious when you refrain from work on one day of the week, and in doing so you don't understand the real meaning of that precept. You also claim to have done the will of God when you eat unleavened bread, but such practices afford no pleasure to the Lord our God. If there was a perjurer or thief among you, let him mend his ways. If there be an adulterer, let him repent. In this way he will have kept a true and peaceful Sabbath of God. If anyone has unclean hands, let him wash them and be pure. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. I'd like to take the time to mention to everyone how these shows are licensed. They're licensed under Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Non-Commercial License, and all of them are copyright Jason Rennie 2005. Well, thanks for listening. Till next time.